What a joy and delight it is to bask in the presence of the Lord our God. God is good, and he is greatly to be praised. God is an awesome God, a wonderful God, a glorious God, a delivering God, a transforming God, a forgiving God. So we appreciate not only who God is, but we appreciate that God would come and spend time with us as we have gathered in his house. Amen. We want to get to this word and allow God to speak to us from his word. He has moved by his spirit, and we want him to continue to move by his spirit even as we consider the word of the living God, found in Luke's gospel, the 10th chapter. And we're going to read verses 38 through 42. Again, Luke's gospel, the 10th chapter. Matthew, Mark, chapter 10, beginning of verse 38, the word of God says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and will not be taken away from her.'" This morning, I want to deal from the subject, putting first things first. Putting first things first. Let us pray together. God, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify your holy and your righteous name. We thank you, Father, for being with us, for moving by your spirit. God, this is sacred time. This is sacred space, oh God. And we declare that we are standing on holy ground. So, Father, as we move forward in this word, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, open our minds, our hearts, our souls. Help us, Father, to really grasp the message in this text. Help us to leave this place changed, determined, oh God, to do it your way. Bless me, God, as I share. Bless your people as they receive. And we'll give you glory together. For we ask these things in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. We pray with thanksgiving. Let God's precious people say, amen. And amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, our God. Putting first things first. Perhaps you have taken stock of your life and you have exclaimed, "If I only had more time." You've considered all the things that you were doing throughout the day and you exclaimed, "If I only had more time." It's really not fruitful to even think that way or to process your thoughts that way, wishing for more time. We have 24 hours in a day. This is not some new scientific discovery, but we realize already that we have 24 hours in a day. So let's not spend time wishing that we had more time. It is not really about time expansion. It's about time management. We know the time that we have, but we need to understand that we must properly manage the time that God has afforded us. And as we consider time management, we do understand that there's some time management techniques and principles. When you have many things that you need to do, many things that you need to accomplish, you would do well to actually make a to-do list. And perhaps those things that will be designated as an A item will be those things that you know you must do. There is no choice. There is no option. So you designate those things with the letter A. But then perhaps there's some things that should be done and they're important, but they're just not urgent. Perhaps you would designate those with a B. Then perhaps there's some things that you just really want to do, and perhaps they're good things to do, but there's no sense of urgency. You can get to them when you get to them. Perhaps you would designate that item or those items with a C. Now, it would not be wise to spend your time, or I'll say to waste your time, taking care of C items and B items, leaving A items unaccomplished. Wisdom would suggest that you put the first things first. So we understand then that we need to have some sense of time management. But perhaps we need to embrace the idea of planned neglect. Planned neglect. John C. Maxwell tells a story in one of his books of how there was a world-class musician who was obviously very serious about his craft. It was a priority in his life, so he determined to practice planned neglect. Each morning when he rose, he planned to neglect everything else until he gave time to working on his craft. And by choosing to actually deny everything else and neglect everything else to focus on that which he said was a priority, he was demonstrating exactly what was a priority for his life. So it is something about time management, yes. It is something about planned neglect, yes. But we also need to take stock of our philosophy of life. We must determine within ourselves, how shall we live? We know that we have 24 hours in a day, so how shall we live? What is our philosophy of life? What do we plan to neglect, to devote our time to this issue or that issue? We need to have some sense of a philosophy of life. And in our text, we find three individuals. And as we look at this particular text, we can have some glimpse into their philosophy of life, at least in this particular setting. And I want to encounter them just as they show up in the text. So let's begin with Martha. And let's see what we can learn about Martha. We find in the text that Martha opened her home to the Lord. And since Martha opened her home to the Lord, that meant that she was the hostess. So in that time, in that place, in that setting, Martha understood that she had some social obligations and duties to fulfill. It would have been socially scandalous for Martha to invite Jesus into the house and then not lay some things out before him. I don't know perhaps what she would have laid out, but she understood that in that time and in that place, she needed to make sure that she worked hard and diligently to make sure that Jesus was comfortable in her home. Now, I don't know what Martha was doing. Perhaps she was making some cornbread. Perhaps she was whipping up some macaroni and cheese.
Perhaps she has some delectable meats to choose from. But because she wanted Jesus to eat healthily, perhaps she has some asparagus, some green beans, and some carrots. I don't quite know exactly what Martha set before the Lord, but the text lets us know that Martha was about the business of serving. See, Martha was a workhorse. Martha was no slouch. Martha was a servant of the Most High God. She understood the necessity of serving, and she would go about the business of serving. And when I think about Martha, and I think about her work ethic, it makes me think that perhaps all pastors would want a Martha in her or his church. Because the reality is, the Pareto principle is real. The 80-20 rule is real. The law of the vital few is real. We find most of the results being accomplished by a few of the people, so we need some workers. And the Word of God tells us such, tells us that we need to be servants of the Most High God. We know in Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verse 44, Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest of all, you need to be the servant of all. If you want to be great in the kingdom, be the servant of all. So we need to make sure that we know something about serving. Wasn't it in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 10, lets us know that as we have received the gift, we ought to minister that gift, serving that gift to others as stewards of the grace of God. So the Bible tells us that we need to make sure that we are serving. And in this text, we find that Martha was a server. Martha was about the business of serving, and we can appreciate that. And perhaps you can identify with Martha. Perhaps being a servant is your thing. You love to roll your sleeves up. You love to get your hands dirty. You love serving in and out of the house of God. You are not looking for your name to be called. You're not looking for the spotlight to shine on you. You're not looking for people to give you kudos and commendations. You just want to serve because that is where your heart is. And your thought is, if I can just serve somebody else, then God will be pleased and I will be all right. If I can just serve somebody. So we celebrate the servant attitude and mindset of Martha, and we celebrate the servant leader in you as well. But Martha is not the only person in this particular text. Mary is also found in this text. Now, Mary no doubt understood the social conventions of that day. But Jesus was there. Now, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 16, we find that Paul gave the admonition to the church of Ephesus to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Using a modern translation is make every opportunity, take advantage of every opportunity that God has given you, for the days are evil. Now, when we come together in the house of God, we say we're two or three are gathered in the Lord's name. He is in the midst. So we come to the house looking to have an encounter with Jesus. We come to the house looking to feel the presence and the power and the spirit of Jesus. When we come to the house, we come expecting some things in this house. We can't see Jesus, but we expect to encounter Jesus in this house by faith. But in the text, Jesus was literally in the house. So Mary wanted to take every opportunity that was afforded her to get into the presence of the Lord. Jesus was right there. Mary knew that Martha was perhaps in the kitchen, but that was not where Mary desired to go. Mary saw Jesus sitting there, and she sat at his feet. Let's not gloss over that, those words, sat at the Lord's feet. It might not mean much to us because of our Western modern mindset, but it meant that She was taking the position and posture of a disciple. That might not grab your attention, but the reality is, in that day and that time and that culture, women were not afforded the opportunity to sit at a rabbi's or teacher's feet and be a disciple. But this is what Mary chose to do. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to him. Can you imagine, perhaps, how Mary's heart was burning as the Lord was giving her insight into the deep things of God? Can you imagine the liberating truth that Jesus could have shared with Mary as she sat at his feet listening to him? Can you imagine how Jesus was able to give comfort to perhaps her troubled heart because she was listening to Jesus? She was at his feet. There's something to be said about sitting at the feet of the Lord. I can imagine perhaps Mary asking some questions and no doubt Jesus having the answers. What a beautiful time it is. What a beautiful time it was for Mary to sit at the Lord's feet, just basking in his presence. We come to this house looking for Jesus, but Jesus was in the house and she was at the Lord's feet. Can you imagine how the Lord was lifting her up in her spirit, in her soul? You know God was not speaking words to somehow tear her down, but no doubt Christ was speaking words to lift her up. And Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened. She took the time to just get into the Lord's presence and allow the Lord to pour into her life. She knew that something else was going on in the house. She knew that Martha was in there frying up the chicken. She understood that. But that was not a priority to Mary. Jesus was in the house and she was sitting at his feet. Perhaps some of you identify with Mary. Some of you say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because when you come together with the people of God, you expect to sense the presence and the power of God. Some of you have as your anthem, falling in love with Jesus as the best thing I've ever done. That perhaps is where you are. Some of you say, if I can just get into that place of worship and lift my hand and lift my voice and tell God, thank you. That's all I need, is to worship the true and the living God. So that is where you are. You just want to worship. You want to spend time in the presence of the Lord. You say, if I can just spend some time in prayer, I don't need to talk to everybody else. Sometimes that's wasted time. But if I can talk to my Father, if I can talk to my Savior, if I can talk to my King, if I can talk to my Redeemer, if I can talk to the one who destroys the yoke by the anointing, everything will then be all right. So some of you say, I just want to go down on bended knee in prayer. I want to call on the name of the Lord. And I can't get enough of the presence of God, some are saying. But then others say, I need to get into the Word. I want to meet Jesus right in his Word. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. And I have found that the Lord's Word is delicious. So I'm delighting in the Lord my God because I want to draw close to him through the Word. And I want to feel the presence and the power of the Lord. I thank God for what God does here. But we don't need to wait until here to feel God. See, Psalm 22:3 said, God is holy and he inhabits the praises of his people, Israel. Now, we are not Israel, but we are his people. So I wonder if I actually sing to the Lord in the shower, will I feel the presence of God? I wonder if I give God praise in the kitchen, if I feel the presence of God. I wonder if I'm walking down the street in my neighborhood giving God glory, will I feel the presence of God? No matter where I am, I can lift my voice and I can say, God, thank you. God, I love you. God, I adore you. God, I bless your holy name. God, I worship you in spirit and in truth, God. I worship you in the beauty of holiness. We can actually find ourselves giving God praise wherever we are. And God's presence will come close. So you're saying, I just want to worship. I just want to give God glory. I just want to sit at the Lord's feet. I want him to touch me. And after he touched me, I want to say, like the songwriter, touch me one more time. I want to feel your holy power. So we say, I just want to be where the Lord is. Just to be close to you is my desire. So that's where some of you are, because you identify with Mary. But can I tell you that everybody is not excited about your praise and your worship? Everybody does not get thrilled because you want to go in real deep. Because in the text, we find it being said, Houston, we have a problem. Because Martha was serving, Mary was at the Lord's feet. Now Jesus is being drawn into the scenario because Martha raised an issue. She offered a complaint, but let's see how Jesus chose to live. Now, he understood that what the social convention of the day was. He understood that Mary was sitting at his feet. Jesus did not say, get up and go into the kitchen. Don't you know that this place is reserved for males? Jesus was countercultural. He was not trapped in tradition. He was not going to allow this moment to pass by without Mary receiving what she needed. So this tells us something about Jesus' philosophy of life. In other words, whomsoever will, let him come. So Martha came to Jesus with this complaint. And in my sanctified imagination, Marcia turned into Sister Girl. The neck started rolling, the lips started popping, teeth were sucked, and she had the nerve to go in on the Lord. Now you know something's going on when you go in on the Lord. I mean, sometimes you feel some stuff, but sometimes you got to just hold yourself. But she didn't hold herself. Didn't hold her tongue. She went in on the Lord. She had another say, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? That was bad enough. Now she's going to boss the Lord around. Tell her to get her lazy behind up and help me right now. I ain't playing with you. She might as well have said it. She said, you don't even care. All this cornbread, I did that. The pig knuckles, that was me. She was upset. She said, I have a problem. I'm doing all the serving. And Mary sitting down, doing nothing. But Jesus had a response. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. I'm going to come to the one thing in a moment. But notice, he said, you are worried and upset about many things. Now, what she articulated was that I'm upset basically because I'm serving and Mary is sitting at your feet. That's what she articulated. But Jesus read her mail. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. So you understand that. How there's something happening in the present that pushes you over the edge. But what really caused you to go over the edge was an accumulation of a whole lot of stuff that you have not dealt with. So it's not just this. It's all that. And then some. But this was the straw that broke the camel's back. So Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And so then by implication, he goes on to tell us that Mary has chosen what is better. So that must be the one thing. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. But only one thing is needed. Give me you. And everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope it's not too late. Too late. Oh, give me you. Give me you. That should be the cry of our heart. Give me you. Everything else can wait. But only one thing is needed. You have so much going on in your life right now that's upsetting you, that's worrying you, that have your attention, that have your time, have your focus, have your little resources. You are so wrapped up in all these other things that ultimately have no eternal significance. But Jesus is saying only one thing is needed. Now, there are some things, obviously, that you have to do in life, but we can't get so wrapped up in those things that we fail to put the first things first. Mary has chosen what is better, and it would not be taken away from her. Now, notice that Jesus really was not saying that what Martha was doing as relates to serving was a bad thing. You don't use the word better to contrast with bad or wrong. You use better when you want to say, in a sense, this is good, but this is better. So you get to choose. You can choose the good, or you can choose the better. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. What shall we do? In the text, we find Martha as one who is serving, but she does not receive necessarily a commendation for the serving. So are we to suggest that we should just simply walk away from serving because it's not necessarily a key component in the walk of faith? No, I would not say that. Are we to say then all we need to do is spend our time at the Lord's feet because this is the only thing that matters? I would not say that. It's not so much either or, it's both and. Stated another way, there needs to be a balance. You need to have the servant's heart, but you need to spend time in the presence of the Lord. You need to have balance in your life. I remember many years ago, there was a young man, a beautiful young man, blessed young man, and he wanted to do, I'll say, the spiritual things. He didn't mind getting into the word. He didn't mind ministering the word. He wanted to do the spiritual things. And we understood that he was walking with the Lord. He was doing the spiritual things. It would appear that he was sitting at the Lord's feet. But there was a problem. When there was work that needed to be done, he would seem to shy away from the work. If we would have a quarterly fellowship, but we've all eaten some wonderful food and we've had a blessed time of fellowship, and now it's time to clean some stuff up, he did not find any pleasure in those kinds of things. And people can notice when there's not balance in your life. So people begin to take note of how he seems to want to walk with the Lord, but he didn't want to seem to do the work. So it all came to a head on one particular occasion. And so one astute brother said, I don't want to be known as one who can break down a text and can't break down a table. You don't hear me. Did I tell you that? There needs to be a sense of balance. It's not either or, it's both and. Let me come at it this direction. Not only is it about balance, it's also about priority. You see, you need to understand that intimate time with the Lord does not flow necessarily out of your serving, but your serving should flow out of your intimate time with the Lord. In other words, your doing should be propelled by your being. You're connected to Christ. You're walking with Christ. You're intimate with Christ. And because of those realities, now the word can flow out of that intimacy with Christ. So we need to understand the priority is not so much intimacy flowing out of service, but service flows out of intimacy. So the priority is getting into the presence of the Lord our God. So if the priority is sitting at the Lord's feet, what then shall we do? Well, first of all, we need to lean towards the contemplative life. We need to stop being so enamored with all the noise and the fast pace of our society. Have you noticed that we love noise? We love distractions. We love the fast pace. We love the much activity. But sometimes you must engage in contemplation, whereby you sit and think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. See, your soul will cry out. Your mouth may open. Your head may go back. And you may find yourself giving God some glory, honor, and praise because you've thought about the goodness of the Lord. And then you realize God was good to me, but I have not been good myself. So that causes me to give him glory. It causes me to give him praise. It causes me to say, Lord, I thank you for being good to me in spite of myself. Sometimes just sit in quiet contemplation. You know, sometimes, I mean, I love the music, I do. But sometimes we need to be at home in quietness. Be still and know that I'm God. We need to sometimes just slow it down and sit in the presence of God. And say, I just want to be where you are, Lord Jesus. I just want to bask in your presence. So I'm going to spend some time in contemplation, some time in reflection. I want to think about what you've done in my life and what I believe you're yet doing and the promises you've made to me and how I want to use my life to bring you glory, honor, and praise. Spend some time in contemplation. But also, hear the words of Brother Lawrence, that 17th century Carmelite who was a mystic of sorts, one who walked close to the Lord. We ought to practice the presence of God so much so that we feel his presence even while we're washing the dishes. In other words, we don't need to wait until the organ is going or the drums on full blast. We ought to have the practice of the presence of God because we know God and we've been sitting at the Lord's feet. So we need to be conscious of the Lord at all times. See, you don't need to say, well, I need to talk to the Father. Let me find my way to the church. Because I need to go to the altar. Your altar is always with you. Anytime you lift up your eyes, smote your breast, say, Lord, come see about me. You're at the altar. And the Lord is meeting you there. So we need to learn how to practice the presence of God. To know that we can come in contact with God as we go along the way throughout the course of the day. But there's a third thing. We need to learn how to live a disciplined life, meaning not just catch the Lord on the fly, practice the presence of God. No, we need to sometimes just say, you know what? I'm going to be disciplined where I'm going to carve out some time, some space. I'm not going to allow anything to touch this time. This is sacred time. It's me and the Lord. I'm going to sit at his feet. You make plans for everything else. You give time to everything else. Why not say, let me be disciplined and make sure that I give the Lord my time. Because I want there to be regular times of coming before the Lord and humbling the heart and asking God to lead and to guide and to give strength and to direct us along the path. We need to do that as a discipline. Let's not get into the presence of God and feel out of sorts. But let's know that because we have been disciplined, because we regularly make time for God, We are at home at the Lord's feet, and the Lord can pull us into a closer fellowship with him. Putting first things first. What are we talking about in an overall sense? As we look at Mary in the text, we're talking about cultivating the inner life. That's what we're talking about. Because the external life stands upon the foundation, stands or crumbles on the foundation of the inner life. But we must make sure that we put first things first. We're going to give time to so many things. I want to encourage you to say, I'm going to give time to sit at the Lord's feet. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm not going to be watching the clock. I'm not going to say, I'm going to sit here until the game come on. Or I'm going to sit here until my show comes on. I'm going to give the Lord the best of my time and the best of my life because he is a priority to me. I'll make sure I'll put the first things first. And that thing which is needed, according to Jesus, is that which we find Mary doing in the text, sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to him. Beloved, this day you have been charged. Put the first things first. As you rest on your feet.